are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here with you once again. It's a Thursday, but it is a special kind of Thursday. It is a winky Thursday, a weekly wink. We had to move things around, shuffle things in our busy lives, so Nick Winkler didn't join me Wednesday. Joining me today instead, we're going to get into the latest news around the NFL. We got some trades. The 49ers released a player. And, of course, dip into that listener mailbag, which is super important. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review the show, iTunes, Spotify, everywhere. You can find me on Twitter at BD Peacock. You can find Nick on Twitter at Bay Area Wink. You can email the show LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. Those are some of the ways to get involved in these Locked On 49ers mailbag segments. So, with that said, let's bring on today's guest.
Nicholas Winkler, come on down.
Nicholas, how are you, sir?
Good, buddy. It's fun to hear that intro. You know, one of the listeners posted a picture of somebody coming on down.
Yeah.
At Price is Right. So I had to post one of my photos, which is the best photo ever because it's when I rolled a 95 on the wheel and the woman is so mad. She had 90. She thought she was going into the showcase. Nope.
That was an underrated part of the show is that roll. Yeah. Someone's sitting there with 90. They're locked in. You walk up there with your cargo shorts. Boom, 95. I love that photo,
I
too.
I just show off the calves, man.
Yeah, well, yeah, I know you're a shorts guy. And it was funny because that photo, because she's like rocking these capris, and you walk up there with shorts. And it was just awesome because you outshorted her. You out-rolled her. And the look on her face is just an amazing photo. And you're like super excited. You're shooting like the double guns pointed at the camera. It's amazing.
Yeah. No, and what was great too is actually when I went up on stage, when I did my 801, she was the 800.
Wow. I didn't realize that either.
I mean, it was so much fun. You know, awesome. She was like old woman hate, you know, where she was like, I'm going to get you. Yeah, oh, I'm kidding.
She's going to beat you with a newspaper. All right, let's get into some news before we dip into this mailbag because there's a ton of questions that people are interested about. People get the NFL is such a crazy time because, and I know it is like this for me because I love the draft and I love talking about it. And you know, at first it was like, okay, I'm going to do a daily podcast. It's like, wait a second, daily like all year, 12 months a
right?
year. There's so much going on. It's easy, and I think fans get just as excited about the offseason as they do the regular season. It's crazy.
You know, there's obviously a lot going on for each team. But, yeah, I mean, there was a big trade that happened today. You know, even if the 49ers did make a move, I mean, there is something going on every single day in the NFL. Plus, you got the AAF going on right now, you know, so there's a lot of buzz. You know, Trent Richardson's out there scoring touchdowns. It's like a flashback, man, like 5 years ago.
The AAF, the weirdest thing about it was you do feel like you're in a time warp. You're like, oh, yeah, all these players that were drafted 3, 4, 5 years ago, they still are alive and live on this earth.
I think it's great. I think it's a wonderful chance to kind of showcase talent. You know, like, look, I'm still around. Look, I can still play. You need a little depth. You need a practice squad guy. I'm right here for you.
And by the way, just yes or no question. Like, are you thumbs up or thumbs down on AAF?
I'm 2 thumbs up, man.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Why not? You know, what does it hurt?
Not as excited as double guns out?
Not quite.
Okay.
But wait, maybe during the playoffs, I'll start doing that. I've definitely got the shorts on right now. So, you know, there's that. You wearing capris?
I am currently wearing sweatpants because I'm at home. I'm hoping my son stays asleep during
my
his
son's
nap.
Napping too, right? Okay, now. Yeah, this is perfect.
Yeah, so you've got double thumbs up. I've got double fingers crossed that this is going to go. And your power is out, by the way. So like we're hanging on by a thread
in
right now.
Closet right now, man. This is great.
Yeah, this is nuts. Technology still allowing us to do this. You've got no power. We've got sleeping babies. That's an amazing time to be alive.
Hope my phone power stays with us throughout this podcast.
All right, so the latest news involving the 49ers, offensive tackle Gary Gilliam, who didn't play much for the Niners. He was a sort of backup swing tackle, and they paid him a little chunk of cash to have that, you know, that stability as a veteran player that could back up offensive tackles Joe Staley and Mike McGlinchey, who turned out they didn't need a backup tackle this season. So that was a bonus, and they have now announced that they will release Gary Gilliam. So it's down to Sean Coleman as the lone backup swing tackle for the 49ers, another player that didn't get any run for the 49ers. They traded a seventh rounder from Cleveland for him right before the season started, and I don't know if he even suited up all year.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a spot where you might see them go after another sort of veteran that can fill in, because, you know, Staley's kind of getting up there in age, so you could also see them maybe go after somebody in one of the earlier rounds of the draft,
right?
You know, much like they did last year. Who knows?
Yeah, and surprise people a little bit, and they could use someone who maybe could play guard as a rookie,
right?
And then swing out to tackle eventually. You mentioned Joe Staley, not young, and also entering the last year of his contract.
Penalty flag Lincoln Tomlinson, you know, he might miss out on some time. You bring in a young guy to take his spot.
Exactly. So some competition there, some depth is definitely needed for the 49ers. And the big noise around the league is that, and looks, things are starting to happen. Eric Reed got a well-deserved contract a couple of days ago. Kyler Murray announcing that he's going to not go to training camp with the A's, instead focus on the combine and focus on being an NFL quarterback, which is a massive bit of news, because he sounded pretty wishy-washy during the Super Bowl. He was on Dan Patrick, and that was an awful interview. So I think the agent wrote up a nice little letter to teams there and had to change that, because that was a really bad look. And I think some teams are already turned off of Kyler Murray when you're 5'9" quarterback.
Right.
The old school guys are already out on you. And if you don't sound committed to football, then that's like, there's zero shot. Someone like the New York Giants, they're sitting at pick six. I guarantee you they don't draft Kyler Murray. Old school GM, old school coach, they're out on that. But some other GMs, younger guys, new school guys, I think they might be all about him. So it's going to be interesting to see who likes him and who doesn't, and how Haskins and Murray stack up at quarterback and who likes who. And I'm wondering if Kyler Murray even helps the 49ers that he's in it, because if you just add a second quarterback to that mix, if those are the two first round guys, and I think they are the two lock first round quarterback, or I mean, I don't know if Kyler Murray's even a lock, because that could go any direction,
right?
It doesn't help the 49ers that there's two guys that teams are like, okay, kind of like both these guys. What really would help the 49ers if there was one guy that everyone's like, love this guy, you know, that's right. What really helps the 49ers. So we'll see how that works. But if they're graded as top five worthy draft picks as quarterbacks, then I think it'll be a good thing for the Niners and add a little trade value to that number two pick. But speaking of quarterbacks, we got to get into the news of the day, which was Joe Flacco has been traded for a fourth round pick from the Baltimore Ravens to the Denver Broncos.
Broncos just can't figure that quarterback position out, man. This I like it. I think it's a good move.
I don't think it changes anything from a draft perspective, but I think it's a smart move that they're saying, okay, we have a quarterback. We don't have to do anything in the draft, but if that situation presents itself, we're still going to draft a quarterback in the future, because as we know, Joe Flacco, if you have the best defense on the planet, you can go win a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco.
Right.
And if you don't, then maybe Joe Flacco's not the answer. And I think the Baltimore Ravens already answered how they felt about that and drafted a first-round quarterback and with Joe Flacco, so we might see the Denver Broncos do the same thing this year.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they owe Case Keenum a lot of money, don't they? I mean, that's a really weird move for me.
Yeah, so basically they just got a taller, bigger-armed Case Keenum, veteran.
I mean, he's a Super Bowl-winning quarterback.
True. So was Trent Dilfer.
Yeah, true. Good defense. I mean, you know, both had great defenses.
Brad Johnson. Did Brad Johnson win a Super Bowl?
I don't think he won a Super Bowl.
No,
I think
he
went to one.
Got there. Right, okay.
Was he the guy who headbutted the wall?
No,
like, that Gus
was
Johnson?
Gus Frerotte, no. I think.
Gus Frerotte, that's it.
I can't even believe I pulled that name out.
That was good.
That was one of those names that I thought for sure would take me at least an hour to figure out.
No, that was well done, sir.
Wow, okay. I'm impressed with myself. I'm going to take a little break here. Let's take a break, because I need to pat myself on the back for about 30 seconds, and we'll come back.
I'm going to go watch that Gus Frerotte video real quick.
Okay, we'll come back with some Locked On 49ers mailbag. All right. And just again, a big shout out to all the people who do get involved with the mailbags. And there's always too many to get to. So appreciate that. And apologies if we don't get to your mailbag question. I asked on Twitter for some new ones, but I have some old ones I want to get to that I think are important here. Let's start with this one. Just a little backstory. And by the way, welcome all the new listeners who might not know who we are at all. I'm Brian Peacock, formerly of Pro Football Focus. I did some analyst work there. Formerly of, used to work at KNBR, RotoWire, did some writing there about fantasy football, fantasy baseball, and now I'm currently doing traffic and sports updates in the Bay Area on various radio stations. I used to work at my current job with Nick Winkler, who is no longer there, former TV guy, former radio guy, Mr. Nick Winkler. The question here from Aaron on Facebook is, how did the Gold Faithful podcast get started? And if you don't know the backstory there, I know a lot of people were Gold Faithful podcast listeners. I jumped over here to the Locked On Podcast Network to do the daily 49ers podcast. Gold Faithful was Nick and I's old podcast that we did one time per week. How did that get started, Nick?
Well, I think we were actually doing a fantasy baseball podcast first.
We did. Yeah. So as coworkers, we're like, look, we both love sports. We are surrounded by radio and recording equipment. Let's kick off a podcast. And it was baseball season. So we're like, all right, baseball, fantasy baseball, baseball podcast. Let's go.
And if the football started coming, we were both diehard Niner fans. We're like, wait, wait, wait. We love fantasy baseball. We love baseball. But we're even more passionate about the 49ers. Like, let's do a 49er podcast.
In fact, I think what happened is it was training camp for football. It was the trade deadline. All-star break, something like that for baseball, and we just kind of transitioned right out of the baseball podcast into a 49ers podcast and stopped doing the other one.
We were a few people that were like, hey, what's up? Where's the fantasy baseball podcast?
Yeah, it was starting to gain some traction. People were stoked on it, and we're like, oh, sorry, we just...
sorry.
Yeah, our baseball team sucks, so we probably gave bad advice anyways. Let's move on.
Right.
So that's how it all got started.
A lot of fun with that, man. That was a lot of good times at the Gold Faithful podcast. And yeah, I'm loving what you're doing over here, Locked On 49ers, 5 days a week. I get to listen, and you know, it's funny. You mentioned the other day you were talking about writing for Niners Nation or something. You always mentioned that it as homework, you know. Yes. And I felt the same. I did a little writing too for a newspaper in Monterey, and it always felt like, oh, I got to do 1,000 words. Like, okay.
Yeah, and then you start to get into your own head, and I think just like anything, the more you do it, like with this podcast, we started doing it weekly, we're like, oh, wow, okay, we got to do one every week, and now it's like, oh, I got to do one every damn day. But the more you do it, the easier it gets. I think it's almost easier in some ways to do a daily podcast than it is, because you're in the rhythm, than doing it once per week, and then it's like, oh, schedule, something happens, and you skip a week, and now it's been 2 weeks since you've done a podcast, and it's like, how does this even work? And I think the same with writing, the more you do it, the more it just flows out of you, I'm sure, makes things easy. But like for me, and just the way my brain works, this is free-flowing, and we just say what we want, and it goes. And most of the time, it makes sense. But when I'm writing, I worry so much about how everything's put together and constructed. And it's hard to just like back up and just like, okay, here we go. Let's just write this and that's it. So I obsess about how I'm structuring things, and then I start looking at words on the page, and then nothing makes sense. And so that's just an added bit of how my mind works. And like you mentioned, it's like, it feels like homework sometimes writing, and sometimes it's easy. Sometimes it just flows out. So I love that I'm in the situation where I'm not forced to do any writing, and I can write if I want to and kick something out. And so that's I'm in the right spot. I found my home.
You really did, buddy. We all appreciate what you do every day.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And it's awesome because basically this is a little Gold Faithful podcast once per week. So I'm glad you were able to continue to do this with me weekly.
Yeah, we could call it Winky Gold Faithful Wednesday.
And the listeners appreciate it as well.
Good stuff.
So there's a big time tight end prospect out of Iowa. In fact, there's two. Here's what's crazy. So obviously, George Kittle came from Iowa as a fifth-round draft pick. And right now, there's two tight ends coming out of Iowa. And I don't know if they're getting the George Kittle bump and like his success is helping them out. But there's two tight ends from the same college that might both be first-round draft picks. Like that's good both these guys are. One of them, TJ Hockenson, is a favorite of a lot of people. And I've seen people say, you know what? We should draft Hockenson if he's there in the second round. Pair him with Kittle. Have this stud... a combination of dual threat blocking receiving tight ends. I'm not so sure that is the best use of resources, because how often did the 49ers have two tight ends on the field versus when they, you know, if you spent that pick on a wide receiver, because there's always, you know, a couple of wide receivers on the field with the tight end. What are your thoughts on that? If there was a stud tight end sitting there, say at the top of the second round, do you like that idea?
I kind of love it, because I mean, think back to to New England. And I know, you know, Aaron Hernandez, obviously, we all know what happened there. But yeah. Remember with what happened with him and Gronk on the field at the same time. I mean, that was unstoppable. You know, if you got something like that going on, oh, man, that, yes, please, sign me up for that.
I'm into it. And like I always say, draft the best player. If he's far and away better than the receivers, you know. But if it's close, I would say receiver, just because of how they would be utilized and long-term value there with a stud receiver versus a stud tight end when you already have
a stud tight end. Okay, let's say before that day, though, that Antonio Brown gets traded for. Now what?
So you already have Antonio Brown.
Still leading wide receiver?
Right. And if you've already, let's say, in free agency or maybe Nick Bosa in round one or whatever other player in round one, you've already got your edge needs taken care of, then and that's the idea. Yeah. That's the ultimate goal going into the draft, being like, needs are done. Let's take the combination of seven best players, one in each round, and keep rolling and add to depth and add competition. That's the ideal. And so then I'm like, all like 100% on board.
All right. I like it. That's a good question.
Joshua has a question about, we were talking about if the Raiders played at AT&T or at Oracle Park next year. His question was, who saw better talent at, he calls it Giants Park, but that's because he's not a San Francisco Giants fan. So shame on him. Right. I believe he's a New York Mets fan.
Gross. And,
but that's, you know, that's, those are other problems that he has to deal with in his life. So I don't want to pile on. He said, what was, who saw the better talent? Peacock's Shrine Game or Wink's XFL game?
Oh, man. Do you remember anyone from that Shrine game? Because I don't think anyone played in that XFL game.
I think it was something like, this was a long time ago, 2004. So it was like, I think the best player might have been Fresno State's Bernard Berrien.
Okay.
A nice little career.
Has he?
He had a nice career. I mean, this is 2004, so his career is long over. But
that was a long time ago.
I think he got a little bit of money. He got paid with the Chicago Bears. Sure. It was a good returner. He had some speed. I liked Bernard Berrien. I'm trying to think of what other player. This is right after I moved to San Francisco, and I got tickets. So I was like, "Oh, sweet Shrine Game here!" And you know, I had a budding love for the NFL draft going on at that time, so I started to fall. Ryan Moats was a running back I loved. I was like, "This is the next like mini Barry Sanders," and he had zero career.
Yeah, you definitely win on that one.
What teams did you see play?
No, Demons play because they're the San Francisco Demons, right?
Oh, right, San Francisco Demons. I forgot that San Francisco even had a team for the XFL.
Yeah. I have no idea. I think maybe they played Las Vegas. Guess
who?
But I honestly don't know.
I can't remember who.
That was a long time ago, man.
There was no like marquee names, right?
No, oh no,
like at all.
The only guy that really came out of that was He Hate Me, right?
Right, He Hate Me. Tommy Maddox was one of the quarterbacks. All right, let's keep this going. Let's move off of the XFL, get to deeper into the 49ers specific stuff.
Do we have to?
We can get off there's a couple of people that love it and a couple of people on Twitter that have been like, I love you guys, but I hate when you talk about anything that's not 49ers. And it's like, oh, come on, we got to have a little fun sometimes. I do four or five shows per week all about the 49ers. I think we can get off on some tangents here and have some fun.
We're in the middle of February, man.
Right, but we're going to get deeper into the 49ers right now, and let's take a quick break. All right, let's go to Tyrone. He said, what's up, BP? What's up, Nick? I have to ask, with all our cap room, if our Niners find a way to add Le'Veon Bell. Well, first of all, he's just going beyond that. So first, the first question I got to ask to you here, Nick, is do you add Le'Veon Bell if he's interested and you have the cap space? And then the second question here is then do you trade away Jerick McKinnon?
Yes and yes.
Okay.
I think so.
You're all in on it.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about a guy. You watch football, right? I mean, there's not a better running back in the NFL than Le'Veon Bell. There just isn't. For the last 5 years, the guy's unbelievable. His vision, his speed, his ability to catch passes out of the backfield. Like, he is a top five player in the NFL, if not the best player in the NFL. If you have a chance to sign him and bring him on your team, you got to do it.
I
know how you feel about running backs, which is why I knew as soon as I said it, you'd start shaking your head. I know what you're doing right now.
It's not like no, no, no. It's just that you would have to be... There has to be so much more context to that. It's not just like, okay, training or free agency opens, let's throw money at Le'Veon Bell. It would have to be like, okay, Le'Veon Bell goes unsigned for a while. 49ers tried to sign players they should be signing instead, can't get any of those guys. And then they're like, well, let's just bring on Le'Veon Bell because his price came down and we couldn't spend money on anybody else because there was either nobody to get or nobody wanted to come here or whatever. And that would be a weird, bad offseason for the 49ers. So I don't see a route where Le'Veon Bell, the 49ers, is a good thing, because in that scenario it'd be bad.
Right,
that's where I'm at with it. but it's nothing again. Okay. I mean, obviously, Le'Veon Bell's great, and you want to have good players.
You want to have great players. He's a franchise-changing back.
Yeah.
I really feel that.
I'd be worried he'd hold out in his first season of a contract.
Like, just right in the middle of it? Like, I know I just signed with you guys, but it's not enough.
He's like, you know what? I gained 150 all-purpose yards week one. I'm not getting paid at that level, so I'm holding out. Let's keep this going with Charlie. A lot of people got worried yesterday. I don't know if you saw that Earl Thomas news about his wife and enrolling their kids in Austin, Texas schools. Charlie wants to know, is he gone or just doing the Robbie Gould route and setting his family up so he can work away for a year or two? And Robbie Gould doing the same thing. And everybody knows Robbie Gould loves and makes his off-season home in Chicago. So living in one place and playing in another is not a new thing. And I think the fact that Austin is so far away from Dallas might even say otherwise, that he's for sure preparing to not play in the state of Texas, because if you knew you were going to play in Dallas, why wouldn't you be in Dallas?
Yeah. And as a parent who just, you know, has enrolled his child in school, like, there are deadlines that you have to meet. And if you want to go to a really good school and you have an opportunity to go to that really good school, especially if it's like your oldest kid and then the rest of your kids get grandfathered in, like, you sign that kid up. Like, you want what's best for your children. And if they believe that the school in Austin that they're signing their kids up for is the best, then they're doing what's best for their family. And I don't think it has anything to do with football.
I agree. It's a non-issue. At first, it was like, oh, no, what's going on? And then the more you look at it, you're like, okay, who cares?
There's deadlines, man. You got to do what's best for the kids.
Right. And I like the kids. See, you're further along in your dadness than I am, so I like that.
You'll get there, buddy.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. It goes fast, from what I understand.
You let me know when little Leo starts looking at kindergartens. You start doing interviews and stuff, man.
Okay.
I know you're going private school route. Come on.
I have no idea what I'm going to do with tomorrow, let alone when he's ready for school.
I know, right?
Which is a bad parenting on my part. I think we need to figure some of that stuff out.
Nah, you're still in the infancy stage. You're good.
All right.
As long as you know how to change a diaper and feed a kid, you're fine.
And Charlie also asked how the kid is doing. Charlie, thank you for asking. And he's doing great. And then Matt tags on. He said, and is Leonardo full on trying to steal your food yet? Well, his name's not Leonardo. His name's Leo. It's funny because you know how, you know, usually you have a long name and then you call somebody a name for short. Leo doesn't have a long name. He's just Leo. So now we're going to do the opposite. So we got to come up with a name that's long for him as his nickname. And so we're thinking Leopold, maybe.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, I think it's royal. It's a royal name.
Yeah, no, I'm into that.
All right.
Leopold. I'm going to call him that from now on. It's going to stick. You just started something.
I'm blown away by how many people are super excited about this Iowa tight end, TJ Hawkinson. It's kind of blowing my mind. I get a lot of questions about him specifically. With all the prospects in this draft, the 49ers have a Pro Bowl tight end, a young tight end, and people are talking about tight end and super excited about him. It's wild. Not that he's not good and doesn't deserve it. Fant, his teammate, is also someone who deserves the praise. But I'm just surprised how many people are like, let's go two tight ends. It's like, what? Let's fix some other positions, man.
Yeah. Yeah. There's too many other glaring needs, I think, to make that a priority. That's for sure. But if he falls in your lap later in the draft, exactly. You got to pull the trigger.
Exactly. Let's see. Possibilities of getting Antonio Brown, Earl Thomas, Anthony Barr, and Nick Bosa. And this is from Chris on Twitter. And it's kind of a callback. It's a callback to Tuesday's show, which was with Dylan DeSimone. And we talked about the perfect offseason. And his take on Twitter a while back was that it's like, it's not that crazy at all to think that the 49ers could pretty easily land Antonio Brown, Earl Thomas. And it takes, you know, a coin flip if Nick Bosa is going to be there at pick number two for the 49ers.
Sure.
The possibilities of all those things together happening is much lower, obviously. But it could absolutely happen. The 49ers just have to be willing to spend on the free agents. They have to want to come here. Antonio Brown thing is just like, I don't know. That's I have no idea.
That's weird. Yeah, it's
I don't
so
even
weird.
Know what to think about the Antonio Brown thing. Does his value get so low that, and I guess we can get into that because there's like 1,000 questions. Here's Taylor's on Antonio Brown, which is worded well. He says, has either of your opinions changed on a potential Antonio Brown trade? Still for it, against it now. A DV incident seems up in the air. While reckless driving thing is confirmed, maybe he thought if he drove fast enough, he could get to Santa Clara quicker. Did you see the 100-mile-per-hour thing where he was driving 100 and got pulled over?
I did, yeah. And, you know, I'll be honest, none of that changes my opinion on him coming to the 49ers. Because, yeah, I mean, yeah, if we find out more about this domestic violence and it is something that's legit, then obviously, you know, good riddance, you know, we don't want you on our football team. But if it's nothing, you know, then yeah, of course you got to bring him in. He's one of the best receivers in all of football. That being said, I think that those things do affect the 49ers' decision on bringing him in. So, yeah, I think that, you know, as these things keep piling up, I think that the possibility gets further and further away.
And that's an important distinction. What Nick Winkler thinks about it and what the 49ers should and would think about such things is probably
not
very
the same.
Good. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, very rarely are they the same, unfortunately.
So Nick Winkler's all about building Pittsburgh Steelers.
Bring me some
West.
Steelers, dude. Yeah. Yeah.
So we're basically,
James Harrison still around?
I mean, we're going to be like basically Seahawks South, Steelers West combined.
Nothing wrong with either of those. Those are perennial playoff teams.
Those were good teams.
Yeah. Were
currently,
that's a good call.
Currently in different states than they were a while back, but not terrible teams, obviously.
Sure, sure. When you're trying to build a franchise, you know, that's had some rough years here, and you could bring in, you know, these solid players, especially, you know, a guy like Thomas. You know, you bring him in, Sherman's around. You know, he's got a buddy on the defense. And they played a long time together. I'm sure they know each other's tendencies and things like that. Like, it just makes sense. And Antonio Brown's just, you know, one of the best players in the NFL. Same with Le'Veon Bell. Come on. Who else? Who else can we get? I don't want Roethlisberger. That's the only one. Everyone else, come on board.
I agree. At least Roethlisberger is the one that's like, okay, that's definitely not going to happen.
Right. Thank you.
But I don't know. NFL's insane. Things change very quickly. This time last year, would we be talking about Antonio Brown? And would we be talking about, imagine what it would cost today to trade for Antonio Brown. Imagine if 1 year ago you went to 49ers fans, you're like, hey guys, Antonio Brown's going to hit the market in a year and you can get him and not have to give up a first round draft pick. What do you think? People would lose their minds and do backflips, right?
Right. You would just laugh it off. This time last year, who thought Le'Veon Bell wasn't going to play a snap last year?
Very true.
You know, it's just, it's a crazy, crazy sport, man. Crazy league. That's why we love it.
And who would have thought that Jimmy Garoppolo would have played less than three full games?
Right. Who would have thought that Nick Mullins would be this, you know, sensation all of a sudden, throwing for, you know, 300 plus yards multiple times? Come on.
Who would have thought that Brian Peacock would have a child? Well, actually, that was already in motion, I guess, at this time last year.
At this time last year. This time maybe, you
2 years
six
ago.
Months prior to this time last year. Yeah. I never would have thought it.
I myself included. Let's finish off with this. I want to get your opinion on this. I don't think we've talked about it. Should the 49ers try to move up to number one to secure Nick Bosa? And if so, what would it cost? This is from Granini on Twitter.
Tough. I mean, that's like a situation that the Bears were in, you know, with Mitch Trubisky a couple years ago.
Yeah, moving up one spot, and it costs, and it would cost more than what the 49ers got, which was, what, a second rounder, a second and a fourth, and a future third? Is that what
third,
it was?
Third, I think. Yeah, that sounds right.
That's a lot to move up one spot. 49ers.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either. It doesn't make any sense. Yeah. 49ers would have to give up more than that because they're going from 2-1 instead of 3-2, likely. And if you're not, and the Bears are moving up to get their franchise quarterback. That's not what the 49ers would be doing. There's other good pass rushers in this draft. There's free agency. It just doesn't make sense all around. And if you trade up to number one, you don't even allow yourself the opportunity for Nick Bosa to fall to you at number two. If the Cardinals don't care to move from one to two, they probably would. I mean, maybe they would have drafted a different player anyways. If they're like, fine, we'll go to number two and take the other guy that we love just as much that we might have taken anyway.
Right. And if Bosa is taking number one, you know, and then, you know, there's a player sitting there at number two that other teams want, you know, then the trade possibilities come in. And if you're the one trading up, then that's not even on the table anymore.
Yes.
So, yeah, I just think you got to sit pat and just kind of see what happens there at one and then start taking calls.
Totally agree.
Or just drafting Nick Bosa.
Yeah. And there's a chance he's just going to be sitting there for you anyway. And there's, and so instead of like the opportunity to trade down and add a bunch of picks, you're taking away picks and just, and it's a division rival. There's just so many things that it doesn't add up. Trading up to number one is one of the least likely scenarios, I think, even though I understand on paper, you're like, okay, go get this player that you like in your position of need. That makes sense. Everything else doesn't about it.
Yep. I'm on board completely with you. Before we get out of here, there was a question I saw on there talking about like your five desert island albums.
Yes. I forgot about that one.
I'd love to hear your take on that. Cause mine are, at least the top two are really simple. You know, you just bring a couple Pearl Jam albums, you know, and you bring 10 and you bring Verses and, you know, do I need any more?
I think I didn't prepare enough. I think I need to think about that one a little bit longer.
Just think about like, what are your favorite albums? You know, like for me, it's like, you know, bring Radiohead, Kid A, or a OK Computer.
OK Computer, you know, would absolutely be one. That one's like, that was
a staple, man. Just on repeat.
It changed everything. It changed.
It did.
It changed music in a way. That's like that's an important album. It can't be overstated.
Right. I think just anything by Beck, I'd be happy with.
Oh, you're a Beck guy. See, well, growing up, I was a big time Nirvana fan. That was my gateway drug into music. So
right.
But it's hard to pick an album, and I listened to it so much when I was a teenager, and it led me to other bands that I actually ended up loving more later, you know. So I would put like bands like Fugazi in there for me.
Oh, there you go.
But and I think I would have an album from, say, a band like Mogwai. I don't know if you're familiar with Mogwai.
Yeah.
Like a little bit shoegaze is what they like to call that genre. But you know, something to. Because if you're on a deserted island, you don't want all like the same style of music. You don't want a bunch of upbeat stuff. You want something that is aggressive and fast. Maybe one day you want something that is long and slow and drawn out, you know, and maybe cinematic or maybe instrumental completely. So that's why a band like Mogwai would come into play too. So I have a lot of and then I don't know. I guess you would have to have maybe some Neil Young in there for sure, because you want to chill out a little bit.
Oh, you're a young guy. I'm not, man.
Really?
That's one of the. That's like the only thing I disagree with Pearl Jam.
Wow. So, okay. No, I love me some old Neil Young.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Neil
More some new stuff for me is like there's this band out of Australia, Gang of Youths. I really love them.
Oh, Gang. Speaking of Youth, Sonic Youth is one of my favorite bands of all time. But might drive you crazy on a deserted island.
They do that song Psycho Killer.
Psycho Killer. No, that
Psycho
is
Killer.
No, that Just is Talking Heads.
Was it?
Yeah, that was Talking Heads.
I dig that song, man. I'm not too familiar with Sonic Youth, I'll be honest with you.
No, Sonic Youth, they had a couple of songs. Bull in the Heather was one of their songs in the early 90s, but they've been going since like the early 80s. And now they're finally done, but they've been around for a long time. A lot of definitely a noise rock group that might drive you nuts if you had to listen to it over and over on a deserted island.
Right. Yeah, see, everything I'm picking is like real all over the place.
But as for specific albums, I'd have to think about it a little bit longer. But those would be some of the top ones on my list.
We'll bring it back to you next week, guys.
Yeah, bring it back and have the exact top five albums for the deserted.
All right, I'm going to work on it. All right.
That's our homework. Let's do it. All right. Thanks, Nick, as always.
My pleasure.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks for all the mailbag questions. Keep them coming on Twitter at BDPeacock. Email LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. And I'll talk to you guys next week right here on Locked On 49ers.
See you.